So I'll start by asking, do any of you garden at all? Do you plant anything?
Well, I planted a jelly bean.
That is going to be interesting to see what grows. That was on Easter, okay. Well, Jesus told a number of parables about that involve gardening. I don't think he had jelly beans in mind, but that's a fun thing to plant. As he tells the parable, he talks about a sower, not the kind that sows clothes, but someone that, have you ever fed chickens? Have you ever seen someone feed chickens? In a farming community, or a community that has farms, you must have seen someone feed chickens. You just sort of throw the seed out, right? And so as the parable starts, Jesus says, a sower went out to sow. And instead of planting, like, are any of you gardeners here? Not just, the kids are even more adventurous than me. You can put your hand up. Okay, so probably when you plant, not just, did anyone plant jelly beans? No.
But we will now.
But we will now. To think that we might have a crop of jelly beans next year. But when we plant, we usually do sort of a furrow, right? Am I using the right word? And then you put a seed, and then you put maybe 4 or 5 inches away and another seed, because as a plant grows, you want to give it space to grow, right? How many jelly beans did you plant?
I only planted one because we ate all the rest.
This one has got to do a lot of work. Well, when we plant, we usually, as I said, make neat little rows, and we usually give space for the seeds to sort of have a chance to spread out. If you don't do that, later on, you have to sort of lift them and sort of thin them, and there's a little work to do. But Jesus, as he tells this parable, has this farmer just throwing the seed out. That sounds strange, except when I was in Bangladesh, 50 years ago, I know I look it, but 50 years seems like a long time ago, I watched farmers getting ready for the monsoons, and this is how they do their rice. They just throw it out, because the early rain will start to send up little shoots, and you can transplant. And as Jesus tells this parable, he says, a farmer went out to sow, and some of the seed fell on the path. And so what happens to seed that falls on a path? Any idea?
It grows in the path.
Well, if people are walking on the path. It doesn't grow, usually.
Or if it was gravel.
Well, I'm going to get to some places like that. And some of the seed fell where it was rocky soil. And as you know what this is like, this snow is going to melt, and where it's rocky, thin soil, the plants would do what? They might grow quickly because it would be warmer. Make sense? No? Not in a temple? Well, that doesn't need a bar anyway. And the plants grow a little bit quicker, but those plants that grow quicker in rocky soil don't have a place for roots. I wonder what your jelly bean is doing right now, right? And so that seed that falls there grows quickly, but as the summer comes out and it gets to be 80 and 90 degrees and 80 and 90 degrees and not very much rain, what do you think happens to those plants? They what? They get very hot. I'm going to ask out there where all the adults are. What happens, do you think? Is that what you're going to? Okay. They wilt. They don't really make it. And some of the seed falls on where there are brambles. And, you know, this sower wasn't really very careful. And so some of it where there are weeds and things like that. And the seeds start, but pretty soon the weeds take over, and that seed, those plants don't grow. Yeah?
Like, I read a book where
That's just about what the parable says. Those plants have a hard time. And then some of the seed, some fell on the path, some in sort of rocky soil and got a quick start, and some of it in sort of a weedy area, and they started, but they got overshadowed and they didn't grow. And some of the seed falls on good ground. When Jesus tells a parable like this, what he's inviting us to do is to see ourselves, it's like. A parable holds up like a mirror so that you and I get a chance to see ourselves. And we're invited to see which of the soil are we. Because what it is that the parable is about is that we are the place where God's love grows. And some of us... I'm sorry, love, what? God, it's as if God's word is like the seed, and it's at work inside us. And so we get a chance to ask ourselves, and what kind of place are we for God's love to grow? Sometimes we get so busy that it doesn't have a chance to grow. Sometimes we get started, and all sorts of things happen. Dishes, life, work. Sickness, anyway, the word doesn't get a chance to grow as it should. And some of it falls on good ground. By that, ground that's been worked, prepared, prayers, helping others, listening, the way in which we help ourselves be open and available for God's love to grow in us. So, that's for just this morning, at any rate. How long do your little, do the sermons, this it helps me out for the next 2 weeks. Is this too long for what we do?
No.
Okay. But thank you for coming up, and thank you for helping me. And I can't wait to hear about the jellyfish.
I thought it looked like a rock. It looked like a green rock.
It was a green jelly bean that looked like a green rock. Okay. Okay. I know that the next hymn, and by the way, I saw that all the very exciting Easter hymns had already been chosen for Easter Sunday. So I think hymn 188, I hope that's going to be, are they all familiar? I have no idea what how we do they are. So we're going to stand and sing hymn 188 together. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
readings from Scripture. The first, from Lamentations. An unlikely place, like Easter eggs hidden and found in unexpected places, an unlikely place for something beautiful about God. The third chapter, the 21st verse. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And a reading from John's Gospel, the 19th verse, beginning. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, who was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me reset the gospel lesson you just heard read. Let me see if I can bring it to bring us right where it is as it opens. So it had been two painful days for the disciples, those that followed Jesus. 2 days earlier, they had watched him die a painful and horrible death on the cross. And that followed almost immediately with fear about, if the authorities did that to him, what might they be doing to them? They were afraid, they hid. And that followed by Mary Magdalene bursting into the disciples where they were sitting and saying, "I've seen the Lord." It sounded sort of like a troubled woman, a troubled person. And that followed immediately almost by Peter and the beloved disciple racing to the tomb and finding it empty. What's going on here? Is someone trying to be funny? It was eerie. It was scary. And they found themselves in a room locked, as the scripture tells us. I'm saying it could have been bolted. That's how fearful they were. That's when we pick this up. This is 2 days. It's 2 days after the crucifixion. This is what we call Easter Day evening. And through the bolted, locked doors, Jesus comes to them. As I was driving around this week, sort of thinking about us, I didn't know you, I didn't know what this was going to be like for me. I tried to think about how to make this alive for us. It won't surprise you, I've preached on it. This is the traditional lesson for Christianity. This is the traditional lesson for the Sunday after Easter. Been ordained 56 years, so probably 50 some odd years. I've preached on this, so how do I make it different? How do I make it alive? And then a thought came to me, something that I hadn't really thought about in connection with this. I mean, I saw it a different way. And I'd like for that to be the sermon this morning. It seemed to me that when Jesus comes through the bolted, locked doors, he doesn't at all do what I thought he should do, or what I thought he would do, or what, if I had been one of the apostles, what I would have needed him to do. I mean, just for a moment, think of what they had been through. We're talking trauma. And what I would have thought he would have done was, well, I like the fact that he says, "Peace be with you." That's sort of reassuring because it's kind of scary. And then we're told he shows them his hands at his side just to make sure this is the person who saw God, it is I. And then I thought what he would do, well, let's pause for a second, let you think. What do you think? What would you have wanted? What, as an apostle or one of those persons, what would you have needed? What would you have appreciated? What would have benefited you? I would have wanted to teach me something, explain it. that I have been through, what I have watched, his slow death, my fearfulness about myself, whether the authorities were after me, and what was this all about, and then coming through closed doors, I would have benefited if he had said, sit down. Let me tell you about this. After all, he was a teacher par excellence. But that he didn't. That he chose not to. This was not a teaching time that way. Began to say to me that this thing we call resurrection is something that can't be accessed quite by just the mind. That there's a power to it that defies easy explanation or facility with words. Peace be with you, and that he shows them the marks. And then he says, even as the Father has sent me, so I send you. No explanation about where I've been, what's happened to me, I understand what's happening to you, I care about you. He puts them to work. He commissions them. Even as the Father has sent me, I send you. I don't know about you, but that immediately raised for me two questions, one of which is, and how did the Father send Jesus? My answer may not be your answer, but my answer was in power and with love. Even as the Father sent me, I send you. And why? I found myself asking why. Why put people to work? You haven't even explained to them what kind of work they're going to be doing. I mean, we all want a job description, don't we, when we take on a job? In fact, some of us are very particular. Clergy more so now than they used to be in my day, at any rate. I want to know, how many days off? How many hours do you expect me to do this? Where am I supposed to be? To whom do I report? You're all looking at me sort of strange. You don't know what I'm talking about? Oh, you kind of do. Okay. None of that. Why? Why not explain? And then it just seemed to me, I mean, you'd think that at 79, almost 80, I would have thought these thoughts earlier, but this is the way they came to me. We're sent. They are sent. All who follow, they are sent. On-job training. That the only way most of us are going to, like Thomas, touch and see, because the risen Christ is no longer in our midst to be touched that way. The only way we're going to see and be part of resurrection is out doing the work. That in Christ, the Spirit. We are sent in God's love, the power of the Spirit, to all situations, our own lives, and to every other life. And that it is in that giving, and that being present, that listening, that helping, that whatever, we're going to be confronted by, discover, come to know something about resurrection. The person that we go to help and we see a smile on a face and it seems so tiny, and yet we begin to sense something's at work within this person. But we begin to sense and see and feel a change in our own lives. The beginnings. But resurrection is like new life. As the Father has sent me to bring new life to the world, so I send you that in you that new life is shared. Touch, sight, action, inaction, prayer, name it. All activity, all of life has the possibility and the potential for sharing and being in touch with and coming to life with this new life. When we say sent, as the Father sends me, I send you, I found over the years, it's probably not true in the temple, but I find lay people go, they just clam up. They think, to be sent is a clergy person's job. And that's not mine. My job is to give some money and sit in the church. But that's not the way Jesus did it. He said, you are sent. And that means if we are to be, if we take Jesus at his word, people at the Temple Congregational Church are also sent. Now, I don't know the inner workings of the Congregational Church well, but I'm just guessing. There's lots of work that can be done inside the life of the parish. I bet there's, I don't know this. I did meet with the deacons early this week, but they didn't tell me this, but I bet there's things that need to be done, like church school needs to be taught, and the choir could always use an extra, maybe an extra person. That was a very, very good choir, but an extra voice or two. An extra voice or two. There are committees. There must be. There's work to do with every parish church. But it isn't limited to that. It isn't just what we do here. You know that. If we're sent not only to ourselves here in the fellowship that we have, and generate, and the support and love that we give, and the understanding we share with each other, but we're sent out into the community. Remember, Jesus mentioned, though at least of these my brethren, brothers and sisters, that we're aware of those people and the help that they might need. Surely, there's a shut-in somewhere in temple that would welcome a visit. There may even be a family somewhere here in this community that really is struggling for food. And that if it didn't get to be known and they didn't have to feel embarrassed, they would welcome help. Sent. Sent not just for the inner workings of this that keep this going, this which is so important because this is how we gather, this is how we hear God's word, this is how we share with each other, but sent out. The sent is using our talents, God given, we believe, don't we? Sent, using our talents not just for ourselves, using our talents for causes beyond us, something that doesn't just benefit us, not just us, me, what's important to me, for me. We begin to get to us, and somehow that's part of how sent lives out its life. In families, in marriages, in raising children, at work, the person that works next to you, people that you know, and people you don't know, and if Jesus' sentness is as I see it, believe it, and have tried to live it, and I suspect you too, the even to people you don't get along with.
Have any of those in Temple?
No.
Okay, that's all right.
People you just assume not talk to. People you just assume ignore. Sent to them as well. Sent. Sent sounds like, well, can sound like a challenge to us. After all, many of us aren't good with words, or don't feel that we are. How do we choose the right words? We remember Moses saying, you know, I can't talk. I can't say the right thing. It's that kind of thing. Send me into a situation and I fumble and stumble, and because I know I'm going to do that, I don't want to go there. Jesus doesn't say, go and say these things. Not that there's anything wrong with saying. He just says, go. As the Father has sent me, I send you with my power and my love. And as you go, and I know now, because it was announced, you've got a meeting afterwards, and so I get to go to your meeting too. I get to see how you are with each other. Go. As we go, and not just from here to there, but here out into the world, it may help us. It may help us to remember the words of St. Francis of Assisi, who said to his brothers, preach the gospel always. That would put the fear of God into lots of lay people. Preach the gospel always. And when you have to, use words. Sure, you heard what Francis said. You're supposed to be living it, showing it. You only have to use words when you're not living it. Even as the Father has sent me, so I send you in my peace and with my love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I have to see where we are. It's an end.
Tradition, this is the moment where the priest says, let us pray for the whole state of Christ. Here it's the pastoral prayer of the people. It should come from your hearts and minds and your concerns, and I will try to lift them up with us as we close. Are there people, are there situations, their issues for which you like, or need, or want our prayers? Don't be shy. Yes.
I'd like two prayers. I have two prayers. One is for my son-in-law, Rick, who's
Rick?
The train works, but he can't drive it. He needs to find a truck that he can use to go to work. And the other one, I guess, to continue to keep Rob and Sean not walking the same prayer.
I didn't get the name, I'm sorry.
Rob and Sean.
Rob. Rob and Rick?
Rob.
Okay.
For help.
Yes.
I have on the mind our dear parishioner, Priscilla Weston. I know she's not been feeling well, and just please have her in your prayers. So she might find what might be causing ailments and not feeling well. Also, my mother, Mary Jane, just use Mary Jane as
Mary Jane.
Most of everybody does. But she was hospitalized late last week. She is home, seeming to be back in action. Kind of a little blip in the radar. We hope we can have more definition on what brought that.
Yes.
And another blip in the radar. My last year, he's been fighting cancer, had a little stay at the local hospital, and was reset so that he can continue to heal.
Yes.
If we could use microphones, so here you can.
Our son Jim had emergency eye surgery.
Jim?
Yep. And it's going to be about 3 weeks before he knows if he regains sight.
Can you hear me? Still not on. Okay.
Well, with your permission, I'm going to pray for the nation. We're in the midst of electing a president. You know, maybe that news has made it here to Temple, right? And I'd like for us to pray for this parish family, if you don't mind my doing that. I'm an outsider, but I'm not, because now I'm with you. I'm sort of part of you. Are there other situations, people? Heavenly Father, we gather here as a parish family. We just celebrated Easter. We hear the words. We're involved in the excitement. New life. We look at ourselves and we ask, is the new life touching, reaching, activating, motivating, guiding me? And so we begin, continuing to pray, Lord, I want to be a child that follows Jesus.
help us. Forgive us, guide us, open us, challenge us. Help us not to take everything and everyone for granted. But there's a mindfulness, an intention, that in any situation, your love can be at work, should be at work, that I, like an electrical current, I'm part of how that's connected. Be with us. We pray for our nation, we pray for our president, Congress, judiciary, pray for guidance as we begin this process or in the midst of it of electing a new president and many other representatives, congressmen, senators. Father, we pray for the men and women who serve this nation overseas. Keep them from harm's way and keep them from harming. It's a frightening world in which we live. We've helped to create it, but we hope to bring to it your love. Guide us with that. And guide us as a parish family here. Committees, work, how we are with each other, guide us, open us, be with us in all of that. Be with us in our worship. Remind us that praying is part of being sent. Holding each other in prayer, caring by prayer, new life by prayer. And Father, in our praying, we pray for people we do love, relatives, spouse, family. We ask that you be with them. Rick, Rob, who need help, they turn to you. May they be open to being guided by the Spirit. Pray for Priscilla, who is sick, but home and making progress. May that continue to be. Mary Jane is home, but there are more questions about illness, future. Be with her, her family, medical science, and how it helps us and serves us. Pray for Peter, who's struggling with cancer, and it's so scary. We cannot see it, but it takes hold of us. Pray for doctors and nurses, family and love and that inner strength for him. And Jim, a son who's dealing with eye surgery to come. Progress has been made on what doctors can do with eyes. We can pray that all the very best may be brought to bear for him. And again, be with us here in our worship. And be with us as we leave this place. Guide us. Do not forget to leave or act as if this is where you are and we let go as we move out into the world. In power and in love, in Christ with the Spirit. Send us forth from this place what we've shared, our prayers, our singing, our hopes. Yes, even our dreams for this parish family. Send us out. And may what we do and say reflect your love in our lives. These things we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Will you join me in saying the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Psalms. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name. Bring offerings. And come into his courts with praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Send us forth with your love, as we know it in Christ. Send us forth with the power of the Spirit, as we know that in Christ. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace now and always. Amen.